Well, have you ever applied yourself to something through hard work or study and then qualified? You made it. You got the certificate, or you got the degree, or you got the membership. Maybe it was a trophy or some special recognition. It's a great feeling, you know, to know that you made it, that you accomplished something, that your efforts paid off, that you are now qualified or certified, that you belong. There's this special sense of gratitude that comes over you if you are of a spiritual nature, because you realize that there was a will, there was a grace, there was a power within that supported you along the way in order to accomplish that task or to reach that achievement. Of course, we also now live in a everybody gets a trophy culture, and where you don't have to do much to qualify to get the recognition. You know, every day in the mail I get mail, and also in my email I get spam that says, "Congratulations, you qualify for a loan or for an insurance policy or for some credit card." And you know, I don't know how many Obama phones I qualified for in the 8 years of his administration, but there was a plenty that were offered to me. Things today, sometimes you qualify with no effort at all. Well, in the church, there has been this squabble over the years about how you qualify to be in the kingdom of God, to become a saint, as we are called in the scriptures. There is the notion of works, and then there's the notion of faith. And we see this play out in the early church. There were squabbles over that and disagreements. Is it just merely faith that by which we achieve the kingdom of God, or are there works that need to be involved? Are there things that we need to do in order for us to qualify for this great inheritance that Paul speaks of in Colossians this morning? What does it mean then to have the kingdom of God? What does it mean to be able to get into the kingdom of God? If all we have to do is believe, then maybe it's just saying the right words, reciting a prayer on the back of some spiritual publication. But then on the other hand, we're reminded that Jesus tells us in the Gospel of Matthew that not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will be saved. So we have this question before us. How does one qualify for the kingdom of God? Well, the New Testament says we qualify for an inheritance, a great inheritance. And over the New Testament tells us that we qualify for this spiritual inheritance when we let go of our grip of the world and we rediscover the nobility of the soul that God placed in us. And Christ reveals that to us. We qualify for this spiritual inheritance when we live out in our soul Jesus Christ, when we allow Christ to be born in us. And when Christ is reborn in us, he begins to show us the nobility of the soul that was there all along, because we were created in God's image, but we forgot about it. We abandoned it. We rejected that image, and we chased after things of the world. We chased after the appetites of the world. And we missed out on the inheritance until we let go of our grip of the world and we opened our souls to Christ. And Christ comes into us and shows us our inheritance that was there all along, offered to us through Jesus Christ. So we become a saint in the church. We become one who is holy, and that's what saint means, when we let go of our grip of the world and we release ourselves to God and say, "God, take me as I am," and Christ will redeem us in that moment. So you can see that there is grace that plays out, but there's also a letting go that has to take place in our own lives And if there is a work involved, that is the work. It is the work of just merely letting go of the world and opening your soul to Jesus Christ. And the New Testament says this over and over again, that we have to bring in Christ and become like Christ in order for us to receive this noble inheritance. Philippians 2:5 says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset that is in Jesus Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 2:16, we hear, but we have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of Christ. And Jesus says in Luke 18, when Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack, sell all that you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. So we see in that one sentence from the Lord to let go. He says, sell all that you have, that you possess. In other words, let go of everything that's owning you and keeping you from rediscovering the nobility of your soul that was there all along. And then Jesus will say in Luke 17:21, the kingdom of God is within you. It was there all along, but you had failed to recognize it. And the person that we become in Christ, C.S. Lewis called a little Christ, which means more than anything that we become disentangled from the web of the world and its ownership of us. The world begins to possess us and control us, and we begin to live out the abundance of the soul. So there's this polarity, you might say, within us, within our soul. There's the soul, the part of our soul that's divinely inspired, and it reaches to heaven, it reaches for God and desires to be more and more like Christ. And then on the other pole of the soul there is that falling away, or that falling into the things of the world. And so there's this struggle going on, and Paul talks about this over and over in his writings, the struggle between growing into God and falling back into the things of the world. And the problem is that for many of us, our soul is not flying to God, but instead it's spread out and it's fragmented throughout the material world by desire and by appetite and by impulse and by distractive thoughts. And so the soul becomes distracted by its existence in the world. And that distractiveness can become very destructive as our thoughts begin to take on the way of the world. And we become sinful and we become dark. We fall into the dominion of darkness, as Paul said in our writing in Colossians today. And so our existence, when the soul reaches for the earth or reaches for the material things, it becomes not a matter of quality, and qualify fits in with that. It's not a quality that our soul has, but it's quantity. Our soul starts seeking things and more things and more experiences, and sin begins to dominate our soul. But the soul that flies to God is a soul of quality, of nobility. It has the inheritance. There's this notion of a kingly inheritance that we receive through Christ Jesus. So there's a sense of nobility in the soul. And that nobility we too easily forget because we fall in to chase the things of the world. And Paul says, if we encounter Christ, we have been rescued from this dominion of darkness. And instead, we come into the kingdom of light. That's where God wants us. He wants us in the kingdom of light. But we have fallen into the way of darkness, Paul says. But in Christ and in the light, we discover something. And this is something we all need to hear because we haven't heard it enough. Because in the communications that we receive in the modern world, the communication is very different from this, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But here's the communication from the Lord, that in Christ you are nobility. in Christ, you have a kingly inheritance. You are a son or a daughter of God. You are a brother or sister of the King. That's the message from the New Testament. In the kingdom of God, you have worth. And with that worth comes the inheritance of God, which is power, and which is goodness, and which is beauty, and which is love, and which is a desire for excellence. That's who we are in Christ. We are nobility. You can start calling you Lord so-and-so, and you know, we are nobility because we are of the King in Jesus Christ. But here's what the world says. The world says over and over that you are worthless, that you don't matter, that you are not complete and you are not fulfilled unless you have the things of the world, unless you possess this, or unless you've accomplished this, or unless you've amassed this in your life. That's the message of the world. And in order to achieve that, the world says you must pursue your impulses, you must pursue your desires and your appetites. That will find you happiness in your life. But we find that when we chase those things in life, it leads not to a noble life of quality, but it leads to a destructive life and an ugly life, and a crude and a coarse life of quantity, of amassing things that don't matter in the end. And so Paul calls us in Colossians this morning to affix our eyes on Christ. And he speaks of all these qualities of Christ in that reading from Colossians. He says he is the supremacy. He is light. He is goodness. He is the invisible God in our midst. And when we let go of our grip of the world and we focus upon God, and we allow our souls just to be in the presence of God, Christ reminds us that we are noble souls. And so then we should live in the world as noble souls, being like Christ, being people of light, being people of goodness, being people of love, being people who don't use the world as a commodity, but use the world as a canvas to create a beautiful Christ-like life upon, and how we live in this world, in space and time. And so we have to rein in this outer man or woman to prevent it from running away with us in order to experience this nobility in Christ. And Jesus teaches us this. He affirms that we are not worthless. You are not worthless. The world teaches you that, but you are not. In fact, you are everything in Jesus Christ. Our souls are noble. We are strong. We are free. We are full of God's glory when we are in Christ. Here is the warning that Jesus gave us. He said, if you're to be judged by anything, if your soul is to be judged by anything, it's not by your purchases, but it's by the power that you receive from God. It's not from the things that you amass in life. It's not the quantity, but it's the quality of your life. That's how we qualify, by our quality of life. And that quality of life comes when we give our life to Christ and He fills us with all of the riches of His glory. Then our existence becomes quality. But how often do we aspire? How often do we fly to that place in our life? Instead, we're down here chasing our appetites and our desires and our impulses and the things of the world, when God wants us to release ourselves from that and be filled with His glory and to receive the spiritual inheritance that we have from God. Jesus said in Matthew 16:26, "What will it profit a man if he gaineth the whole world, but lose his soul?" But how many of us, without even really realizing it or knowing it, but we've become slaves. We're not nobility, but we've become slaves to a materialistic and a primitive underworld of impulse and of desire and of appetite. And as the soul has slid into this underworld, we become ugly and we become crude and we become violent in our existence. But Paul, in our writing in Colossians this morning, calls us back. He calls you and me back to nobility, the nobility of the soul. He calls us to be an aristocratic people. Not to be better than others, but to be better than the self that we are before Christ. He calls us to live into that aristocratic existence in Christ, because we become kingly, we become royal, we become part of nobility when we receive Christ. That's our inheritance. And that nobility, Paul says, is power, and it is love, and it is beauty in the world. And that's what our soul desires. That's what we lack. That's what we need. And that's what's provided to us in Jesus Christ. Came across a phrase just this week that said, you know, if cauliflower can become pizza, then you can do anything. You can do anything in Jesus Christ. But your soul that has slid into a materialistic and primitive thonic underworld must fly to Christ. It must rise from the grip of materialism and of the appetite and of the impulse and find its rest and its solution, its joy in Christ. And then Christ begins to work down through the soul and through the mind and through the heart and through the rest of the body and make us a beautiful, noble person, a beautiful, noble man or woman. Most of the world starts the other way up. They work from the groin and to the heart, and then maybe they get the mind and the soul kicked in at some point. But Christ calls us in our soul and says, contemplate me, be filled with me. And flying to Christ means this in our daily life. It means in everything that you do, everything that you say, every thought that you entertain, that you are mindful of the ground underneath all of you, who is Christ. You're reminded that everything that holds you, upholds you, and sustains you, holds you together, as Paul said in our passage this morning, is Jesus Christ. And keep that thought with you in your soul all day long. And you begin to fly to Christ in your life, and you become nobility. We need a church of noble men and women. The world's got plenty of people living out of the primitive and the materialistic impulse. We need people of nobility. Nobility of soul and mind and heart and body. The whole package. And Paul says we have that inheritance of power to do that if we will receive the Christ in our lives. And I'm telling you, when you have the power and you become a noble man or woman in Christ, you can do anything that Christ desires you to do in this world. You can overcome any struggle. You can overcome any defeat. You can achieve anything that Christ wants you to achieve. Because you have become a noble soul in Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we live like paupers spiritually. We live like spiritual orphans, like we don't have a home. And so we go searching the world and we're fragmented and we try to find our joy in this and that and this thing of the world. And it just leads to loneliness and destruction and a crudeness and a vulgarity and a violence of our living. When all along, you invite us to be your sons and your daughters, brothers and sisters to our brother Christ. Father, may our souls fly to heaven. May they fly to Christ, that we might receive our inheritance that you have given us here today through the power of Jesus Christ. that we might walk in the world as a noble and upright and holy people. And we pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.